B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
So he's trying to hang in there, trying to keep the defensive tackle from getting too much penetration so that if the defensive tackle gets on his inside hip, then he's screwed. Because if that end comes around, there's no way that he can switch it off. Right. So he was dragging, then trying to come off late to sometimes with the defensive end, which causes a problem for him in protection.
All right, now we're going to get to Mike and Delran in a second here. I do have to tell you, listen, 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast.
97.5 The Fanatic. Big Green giveaway.
That's right, we got our Big Green giveaway, and this hour's keyword is bank, as in take that to the bank. Enter the keyword bank on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or texting bank to 45911 by 8:15 this morning, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 975thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword bank on the Fanatic app or 975thefanatic.com, or by texting bank to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Our Fanatic 5K a day Big Green giveaway is presented by the all new Parks Casino Sports app. Good luck. Mike and Delran, bring us back into the sports world. What's going on, brother?
Man, I thought I won something. That was cool.
Sorry, man. You know what you won? You won the right to ask the wonderful Trey Thomas some questions.
All right, so let me ask you this question then. Next time we see McCown, are we going to go well-endowed McCown or DM-down McCown? We got to figure this out quick.
Yeah, it's a tough one. We'll have to kick it around a little bit.
Listen, you play your first road game, right, against a team at their first home game that took a loss the week before. And if you lose, all right, I get it. But not when your sideline's looking like General Hospital over there. Like, that's another reason why it's important to get conditioned in the preseason. I'm going to keep pumping my chest about it for as long as I have to. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what happened to Alshon, because every time they showed him, he looked like one of Adrian Peterson's kids after he just got a belt for Christmas.
No, Michael!
His sulking face, I didn't understand it.
Michael! Michael from Delran. You young man. Oh, come on.
Nelson Aguilar. All right, cool. You made that 4th-and-14 catch. Awesome. But you know what? That's like your kid failing school all year.
No more kid references.
Like, it's like failing all year, finally get an A on a quiz right before he drops out and starts smoking meth.
Losses
Eagles
do weird things to Mike.
Mike's in a dark place. Michael, it's okay.
I'm so pissed off. And let me tell you something.
What's that?
Number 5 gets on today and is critical about when. I'm jumping out of the secret window.
Number 5 will always love you.
All right, Michael, go find a hug. Find a hug from someone.
Wow. He went meth and Adrian Peterson switch.
Yeah. It's a rough Monday for Mike.
It's a tough one.
He was on hold too long. He had too much time to think. get better, Mike. It'll get better.
What are the worst comparisons I can make? What are the worst analogies I can make for the Eagles? He nailed both of them.
Yeah.
Good Lord, man. All right.
But yes, Donovan McNabb will join the show at 9:30 today, Mike.
So here's the thing. Carson's played, he played pretty well in the first half, right? The first game of the season, right? And he's a pretty good quarterback. He was an MVP candidate a couple of years ago, even getting injured and all that. 5 has been hesitant on the, adulation for Carson Wentz.
Maybe even reluctant.
Reluctant. And look, and we tried to analyze it last week and say that it was, we asked the question, is it something along the lines of what made him stay away from the Eagles Super Bowl run because he didn't want to make it about him? Is it like of a guy that I've criticized many times in the past for being not exactly being self-aware? Was he finally self-aware, realizing that if he was on the field at the NFC Championship game where they beat the Vikings, Donovan celebrated like he wants something. I know the team wants something, right? Or he stayed away from the Super Bowl for that same reason. But is he staying away from the Carson Wentz conversation because he doesn't want to be that lightning rod anymore? After good games of Carson, he's been hesitant to shower praise. Now, what was an abysmal first half of a game for Carson Wentz, will five then lay into him? Will Donovan then lay into him? It's going to be an interesting conversation we're going to have at 9:30 today with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah,
regardless of all that, when you look at the situation that's unfolded with the Eagles yesterday, all the injuries and all that stuff, we could all point to the injuries, and they lost a number of key contributors. This wasn't some guys on special teams getting injured left and right. This was Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson. This was Carson Wentz even missing some plays with concussion protocol. Nelson Aguilar missed some time. You had major players in this offense miss this game for the vast majority of it, at least. You were still in it at the end. Are you taking any positive thing out of this, or are you going to stay on the fact that Nelson Aguilar dropped an awful ball? Are you going to drop, or what should have been a touchdown reception to go ahead, maybe even win you the game? Is it something you're going to focus on where your offensive line struggled too much? Is it going to be something you focus on where you look at the turnovers from Carson Wentz, the fumble from Corey Clement, Zach Ertz not getting past the first down marker on the last catch of the game, the last play of the game for the Eagles? What do you focus in on after this game and go, well, that right there is the number one problem? If I have to say there is one problem, if I could just flip it and say this needed to be better, it was overall the offensive line play in this
game. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the biggest factor in this game throughout, from start to finish, was the fact that your offensive line, most notably Isaac Seumalo, did not protect your quarterback and did not open up running lanes. You had 2.5 yards per carry on this offensive line.
Did we just all universally agree here?
I think we did.
Yeah.
How about that, guys?
Yeah.
Hopefully Mike and Del Rance hearing this and is not jumping off the bridge.
I mean, I took a little guff for a tweet I had immediately after the game last night.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, I just said the silver lining in that game was, and it's something I think most of us have known, Carson Wentz balled the hell out when the game mattered the most.
Yeah.
It was the worst half he's played as an Eagles quarterback in the first half.
He responded in the second half.
But in clutch situations. Like,
sure.
I thought he played great. I really wish they had gotten him the win personally, so you could shut everybody up that says, oh, well, they don't win in late comebacks in the fourth quarter with Carson Wentz. I really wish for him he got that because I thought he deserved it.
But are they in that position late in that game if Carson even plays halfway decent in the first half?
Maybe, maybe not. I mean,
both throws that he had were what, at least underthrown? The first interception by Trufant was an underthrown to Arthega Whiteside.
Oh, you mean the punt?
Why you got to do that? Why you got to be a jerk? You're like, there's
Why
a button right
there.
Like, right there. You know that's a button. Like, now I'm triggered. Now I'm triggered. Now everything Mike and Del Rance says is totally justified.
Yeah.
Like, no, I hate
Cam Johnson could have done a better job than that.
Inside
the 10, right, Cam?
It was like the 8-yard line.
Why? I mean, that's like a great
punt. It was a coffin corner interception.
I mean, oh, is that what it was?
It was
an attempt at a touchdown, and you're like, oh, it's a punt. So
the guy was sitting on his butt. There was no chance he was going to make a return.
Now you're helping him,
you
Bob.
Know,
now,
I am.
You're
I'm helping.
Helping. Why
That's
are you
my
helping?
5 o'clock partner.
Why
there?
Are you helping
That's
him now?
That's my quarterback.
Trey, was that a punt?
No, it was an interception.
Thank you very much, Trey.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It worked as well as a punt.
Between the two of us, we got what, 13 years NFL experience?
Yeah, I guess.
See that? Thank you very much. What do these guys got? Nothing. Sergio was like a punt. My ass is like a punt.
No, he was awful in the first half. Okay. There's no denying.
All right, so he was abysmal. He was atrocious. Now, was he under duress? Sure, but that goes in line with the number one reason the Eagles lost his
and
game.
And that play hurt his ribs, which probably affected his play.
There you go. So, Carson had a passer rating in the first half of 6.
How's that possible?
I didn't know it was mathematically possible. I know 158.3 is what, perfect? What's 6?
Yeah.
Perfectly terrible? Like the worst ever?
Well, one of the big problems with this team is how they start games.
Mm-hmm. And it's been
two years. 2 years in a row now, they're up there with the worst in the entire league.
Coming up in a little bit.
After leading the league in 2017.
Here's what we're going to do. Now, one guy we didn't hear from last night, and I don't know if he was talked to. I haven't seen any quotes. I was looking for it. Isaac Seumalo, I didn't see anything from. But I saw stuff from Ronald Darby. I saw stuff from Zach Ertz. And I saw stuff from Nelson Aguilar. Mm-hmm. Those guys were at their lockers. They were answering questions. All three of those guys did, aside from Isaac Seumalo, had a huge hand in why this game was lost. At crucial moments, Nelson Aguilar, obviously with the drop. You had Ronald Darby was beat 3 times on 2 possessions in the, second quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Three times he was beat. He's lucky it was only one for a touchdown. Lucky it was only one for a touchdown. Another one was a drop by Ridley that was actually broken up. I believe, I think it was actually by, no, Rodney McLeod was on, in front, and Darby actually swatted it away. Darby had an interception as well, but he was beat time and time again in the early goings of this game. So we'll hear from Ronald Darby. We'll hear from Zach Ertz. We'll hear from Nelson Aguilar. That's what's coming up in a little bit here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But right now I'm going to get Rajab. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rajab?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Good morning.
Hey, I just, one of the things I kept was watching that game last night is that why is it that Carson Wentz continues to have these slow starts? Josh McCown comes into the game for what, a couple plays, and he's moving the ball. Why can't Carson Wentz do that? I just don't, I don't understand it. It's like, what, I mean, he keeps having these slow starts, and then they decide, and then he's, you know, then they're coming, then he's making a comeback in the second half.
Yeah, Rajab, I'll say this right out of the gate. I know a lot of people will look at Carson Wentz and say it's his problem that they're having these slow starts. And look, he's the quarterback of the offense, sure.
Right.
But when they're repeatedly happening in the beginning of games, obviously slow starts, exactly. Repeatedly happening, that goes to coaching as well. What the hell's your game plan? You don't have that ready to go?
I agree. And I thought that also, but it's like, but then you could have, like, for example, Foles can come in and he's making plays, moving the ball. McCown came in on that drive, and he was moving the ball. Honestly, I think they should have just left Carson out, let McCown finish the drive. They probably could have scored.
I agree with you.
No, I don't.
The person that does not, his name is Robert Cooney.
I just think, honestly, Rajab, I just think that if you need a play, it's a low-scoring game. If you need a play, I feel more comfortable that Carson Wentz is going to make it than Josh McCown. Right. But I hear what you're saying. He did bring spark. Right. But if I need a play, I think I'd rather have Carson in there.
Right. The other thing is they need to get rid of this running back by committee because it doesn't seem to be working because it's like when you have a running back has to get into a rhythm. You can't have a guy run for a play and then take him out and he's on the sideline and you don't see him again until like the third quarter or something. It's like the reason why they didn't get the running game going is because they didn't get the running game going. You know, it's like you can't, I mean, that running back committee, I'm sorry, it's just not working. You have two good running backs. You have Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. You know, we haven't really been able to see what Miles Sanders can do, but I don't think they're getting the opportunities. And the other point I want to make is I don't think Doug Peterson is using the weapons that he has to their full optimal abilities. I remember when Golden Tate got traded to Philly last year.
Yeah, we all
do. Yeah, and it's like, wait, how is this man not on the field? Like, why is he not making plays? It's like, I just didn't understand. This guy is the most dominant, one of the probably most dominant receivers as far as yards after.
At least consistent, yeah.
Right, consistently. And he's nowhere to be found. It wasn't until that Chicago game when he scores that touchdown for the game winner that it was actually, that it was actually something substantial. But it's like, I have an issue with Doug Peterson and his usage of the players that he has.
All right. Well, you know what though, if you want to talk about running back by committee, you know who you should listen to tonight.
What's that?
The Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. Thanks for the call and the lead in, Rajab. I appreciate it. Man's a radio veteran. Come out and catch the Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook tonight from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight at PJ Willihan's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The Pro Show is presented by 19 Crimes Wine and Tile Shop, where the pros go for exclusive savings, referral rewards, and job site delivery. Not too bad there. Trey, you were just telling me about that 19 Crimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fine beverage.
It is a fine beverage.
It's a fine wine, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Coming up in a little bit, we're going to let you hear from Ronald Darby. We're going to let you hear from Nelson Aguilar, and we're going to let you hear from Zach Ertz and see if you buy the explanation for what happened last night, why it actually happened. We got Aaron, we got Heather, we got Rob, we got Keith. Open lines after that, 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic, 8:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We like explanations. We don't just like things that happen and then there's no explanation. We need closure, don't we, Bobby?
Yes, we do. No question about it.
Trey, a little closure is always good.
I guess.
I mean, after a win, or excuse me, after a loss, we always want explained why, you know, what happened? Uh-huh. What happened out there?
Talk to
Nelson, what happened?
Uh-huh.
Ronald Darby, what happened?
Not good.
Times five. What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened?
And I would also ask Sendejo what the hell he was thinking on that one play.
What, the touchdown for Julio Jones?
No, the center field one where I don't. It wasn't Jones. It was it Ridley?
Ridley?
Yeah.
The touchdown reception?
Yeah. Sendejo just kind of like stood there.
Add that to the list.
Yeah. I mean Darby wasn't alone on that one. It's the only reason I bring it up.
What was the plans on what his reads were?
What else would it have been at that point?
I don't know.
I mean, he was at the goal line, and there was one guy in the end zone.
I was like, "Oh, Trey has an explanation." Just as lost as we are. Now I feel better. All right, sweet. Then obviously, hey, Zach Ertz, what happened? So before we go any further, though, we do have to get our Twitter question out there. Our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation, and I'm interested to see how this one falls.
Please tell me we did what's worse, the hat from Ertz or the bow tie from Wentz? Those are the hard hitting questions.
Tomorrow's a new day, Jamie.
I think the bow tie is way worse.
Yeah, the bow tie is pretty hard
because it was black on like a dark green shirt. Dark green. Not a good look. Yeah. He lost a bet.
Like of all the criticism we could throw at Carson Wentz, probably the most steady criticism is the man can't dress.
Just go hire Malcolm Jenkins in his shop, you know?
I remember maybe that's what he did. That's what made him go bow tie.
Maybe.
Ooh. Maybe he got it mixed up where that was a bow tie for a different suit.
Maybe. He should just go like camo suit and like bolo tie.
Yeah, just
like really embrace it.
Yeah, just go in some fatigues.
Yeah.
Urban fatigues.
These are all great ideas. We will send these to the Eagles.
A duck call hanging from his bolo tie or
something. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a 12-gauge casing.
Shotgun shells all over his jacket.
Yeah.
You guys, like I'm the outlier. I didn't mind the bow tie.
Really?
Yeah. I think it actually kind of looks sharp.
Maybe it's for the ladies. Now, hold on a second. Sam, before we go any further, real quick, the bow tie is for gentlemen. Yay or nay? Would you advise Dion?
No.
You advise Dion, hey, you should go bow tie, Dion?
No, I think tie looks much more professional.
Yeah, bow tie just looks...
Yeah, I don't like the bow tie, but
you had the hey bean pies, my brother. You know, I don't know.
Bean pies. What is that?
Oh my god!
Yeah, we gotta get you a bean pie, Sam.
We'll get you out on Broad Street one day, Sam.
Pots and pans. Pots and pans. Hey, Sam, how was Babes on Broad, by the way? How'd the first podcast thing
good,
go?
Good. Went well? Yeah, we got like 9,500 views the first day, so thanks,
boom!
Guys.
Very nice. Glad to hear that.
Thank you.
As far as our Twitter poll goes, where are we at on that one?
This morning we asked, the Eagles lost because of poor play, poor coaching, or injuries. We have just under 500 votes so far. 55% are blaming it on the injuries.
I can't believe
55%.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts.
That is.
Does that make us soft? Are we a soft fan base because we're just blaming injuries? Scapegoat injuries?
Kinda.
Oh,
legit.
Well, here's the thing.
Certainly doesn't help.
We started the show, and I used the word disaster. And that's what the game was. The game was a disaster. For so many different reasons. Offensive line play, Ronald Darby, Nelson Agholor, Zach Ertz at the end of that game, Carson Wentz in the first half, just flat out disaster. But injuries, the injuries that you did suffer, I mean, Dallas Goedert, as we talked about it on Friday, was supposed to be a big part of this game plan. When we talked about it with Ron Jaworski on Thursday, he talked about keeping everything within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's where your tight ends are going to have the most play, right?
Right.
And Dallas Goedert is a pretty good tight end.
Yeah.
So you see Zach Ertz being targeted early in the game. If that was going to happen, you know that if you had another tight end as good as Zach Ertz, like I think Dallas Goedert can be, then guess what? You're going to have two guys, not just one, that can catch that ball within 10 yards that are going to be pretty damn good. And it only becomes better for your team and more valuable to your team if the other injuries are happening as well. Imagine Alshon Jeffrey goes down and DeSean Jackson, but you still have those two tight ends to play close to the line of scrimmage. Oh, that's still pretty good. But instead of just your tight end going away, you also lose DeSean Jackson. You also lose Alshon Jeffrey. Corey Clement, after his fumble, also had a shoulder injury. Tim Jernigan goes off the defensive line after you already missed Malik Jackson. Akeem Spence, who signed his contract with the Eagles on Wednesday, was getting snaps in this game. The injuries aren't just like, oh, you missed a guy or two. You missed key players, multiple key players. So I get why injuries you would still factor in to how upset you are about the loss. But when you have those fumbles and you have those interceptions and you're not on the same page as your receivers as Carson Wentz wasn't in the first half, that's where I still got to go to poor play before I got to go to injuries.
Yeah. The timing of the injuries is also bad. Like, if you had a week to prepare for a game without DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey or even Dallas Goedert, one of those guys, if you have a week to prepare for it, fine. They basically went out on the field with a game plan, and then, boom, three of the guys of the game plan got taken away. That's tough. You know, that's tough. I mean, Matt Collins played a lot last night.
Matt Collins was not only one of your better players, he was, like, your only healthy player. Like, what kind of turn of events is that?
Not good.
When he's your best player and one of your best players and also one of your healthier players, you're like, dude, what is happening? Coming up, we'll hear the explanations I was hinting at earlier, Trey. We'll hear from Ronald Darby. And Ronald Darby, there's a little... Like there's a little chuckle.
A little Spice Adams laugh in there.
There's a little. There's a little. There's like, no, there's nothing laughing. I'm not laughing. Nobody's laughing.
Nobody's having a good time here.
And then we also hear from Nelson Aguilar, and we'll hear from Zach Ertz as well. Keith in West Oak Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Keith?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
All right.
Hey, listen. Look, I'm not trying to get too hyped up over here, right? But. And I know that there's injuries and everything, all that good stuff, right? I understand it's hard to overcome. But I'm really getting sick and tired of watching too many Eagle games with Carson as quarterback just handing the other team the first half, and we'll start playing football the third quarter. You know, and I think the thing that really, really irritates me more than anything, every time he does what he did like yesterday, he starts off slow and ends the game on with his hands on fire. It reminds me all the way back to that Dallas game that kept us out of the playoffs last year. And I'm seeing that same type of situation. And then I'm watching the Cowboys, and I'm not liking nothing that I saw yesterday.
Wait, the Dallas game that kept you out of the playoffs last year?
Well, yeah, because Wentz did not show up in that game. We needed to beat the Cowboys last year.
You made the playoffs last year.
No, I mean, we could have won the division.
Okay.
My point is this. You cannot sacrifice a half of football and start playing the third quarter.
You're right. No, that you're dead on with that. Absolutely right.
But my point is this here. We need to call it what it is. Look, you know, I've watched football since Randall in this town. Mm. I ain't never heard a quarterback get so many yeah buts like Wentz does.
I agree with you. No, Keith, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Straight down the board, guys.
No, I'm with you. Look, I'm confident that Carson Wentz will go on and have a great career in the NFL. He's had a heck of a start. A lot of injuries, obviously, we all know that. But I'm not willing to go ahead and just say, oh, he is elite. He is a great quarterback. I believe he's had great moments, but you have to sustain that over a period of time before you get the real greatness or elite status in the NFL. So that's still on hold for me. I'm confident he'll get there, but yes, because of the yeah buts around Carson Wentz, I'm not just throwing all the adulation at him. And I'll say this also. I know Nelson Aguilar dropped that ball, but on the reception that he did have with the first down on the, 4th and 13, whatever it was,
right?
He underthrew him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That thing hung up there like a wounded duck.
Now, he was getting rid of it. He was under duress.
I was going to say, he was under a lot of duress there.
He was. Yeah.
He threw off his back foot.
Sure.
You took it that way. I took it as, damn, dude's got an arm off his back foot.
He got it there. Yeah. He got it there. A little extra on it. That's another opportunity. Although, you know what? If Nelson Aguilar was maybe more wide open, maybe he'd drop that one, too. Maybe. Ooh. Oh, come on. What? That's the one that's over the line? 610-632-0975. All right. So, Ronald Darby is talking to Derek Gunn of NBC Sports Philadelphia after the game. One-on-one interview set up right outside the locker room. And he gets asked the question, what happened in this game? Or were you expecting them to target you as many times as they did? Ronald Darby, postgame.
I mean, you'd never be surprised, you know, at the end of the day, it's the NFL. So, you know, that many times deep, yeah, like, you're crazy. But, like, at the end of the day, I just got to keep pushing. Whether I give up one, or one overthrown, or I make a play on one, it always happens. So you just got to keep pushing. You have a short memory at this position.
The little ha-ha. Expected that many times, ha-ha-ha-ha. You got toasted.
Yeah.
Multiple times in this game. Three times on back-to-back possessions by the Falcons. back-to-back possession three times. The third one, unfortunately for him, was a touchdown. It was the only one. But then he also allowed one in a short yardage situation, first and goal from, I think, of the three, or third and goal from the three, and he gets beat by Julio Jones on the side of the end zone, not the corner. Mm-hmm. But Matt Ryan rolls out to his right. Brandon Graham, no outside contain on the play, mm-hmm. and Matt Ryan's able to complete it right to Julio Jones, who just kind of outmaneuvered Ronald Darby. So I don't want to say he got toasted on it, but he got beat on that same one. Comes out and says, basically, yeah, you got to be ready to go, but when it's that many times, you don't expect to be targeted as many times as they targeted him. Well, maybe if you were a little bit better, they wouldn't be targeting you as much. Mm-hmm. But they saw the weakness, and they exploited the hell out of it. And credit to the Falcons for doing that.
Well, it's the second time in 2 years a team has definitely gone after an Eagles defensive back and keyed on him, with New Orleans doing it last year to Sidney Jones, and then this year, yeah, what happened last night. So, you know, that secondary, I hate to keep saying, but it's concerning. It's very, very concerning.
Mm-hmm. Well, that begs the question, do you call the Dolphins?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Minka Fitzpatrick grew up in North Jersey, grew up an Eagles fan. He can play safety. He can probably play a little corner for you. You wouldn't have to see Sendejo as much, who's screwed up royally now twice in two games. You know, they said they're asking for a first, but they would probably settle for a second. Would you make that call?
Well, he was what, an 11th overall pick?
Yeah.
And I can give you a second rounder for him?
And he's under control through 2023.
Is there anyone else on this roster I can give you? can I just get rid of Sendejo? Can I just move on? Can I just get past that?
You might have to make room for him.
Well, you might. Yeah, you absolutely would.
So you'd make that call?
I would make that call in a heartbeat.
Yes. Oh, and as long as you're dialing the Florida area, why not call Jacksonville? Jalen Ramsey got into a nice little fight with his head coach yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that, huh? And did you see the way his fellow cornerbacks went and pushed Marone away
exactly.
from him?
Exactly. They went to the...
That was interesting.
They didn't hold back Ramsey. They went to the coach.
So Nelson Agholor straight up for Jalen Ramsey? Who says no?
He grew up an Eagles fan. That was the only support. When we were talking about it Friday, it was the only support that he got in terms of coming to Philadelphia. Not that he was an 11th overall pick. It was that, well, you know he grew up an Eagles fan.
Hmm.
Does that leverage? Like, does Howie Roseman bring that up on the phone call? No.
Hmm.
Second round pick, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's already done. Yeah. Second round pick.
You know, especially since he can play safety and it's unknown salary-wise what you're going to do with Jenkins and McLeod after this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if... Now that's the fire to light.
That would suck for Malcolm, though, if they traded for your eventual replacement without re-guaranteeing some money for you.
A little bit. All right, now, I've been promising this, so I want to jump to this real quick. We got Ronald Darby there. Now, Zach Ertz had another just abysmal play to end the game for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. The last play of the game for the Eagles. The fourth down play, he goes not far enough past the first down marker. And he comes back to the ball a little too much, ends up being short by about maybe half a foot. After the game, he was right there in his locker to address the media, and he talked about how he feels he let his team down.
Yeah, kind of route, 10-yard route. Came back to the ball, should have ran a little deeper, just knowing the situation. Really disappointed in myself. Obviously, the team counts on me to make the play on fourth down. I had plenty of time, just kind of a little short. So I'm an emotional player. Feel like I kind of let the team down at the end. Try my best, and we're so close. It's going to hurt for a while. I'll be better.
We all know when it comes to being better and all that stuff, we just want to see him be better at getting some yards after the catch, mm-hmm. obviously. We also want to see him kind of have better field awareness, which mm-hmm. is weird saying that about a guy who's been in the NFL, what, now this is his eighth season?
Yeah.
For a guy that's been as good as Zach Ertz, to not have the presence of mind of where he is on the field, to not know to take that extra step, especially when he is given that opportunity to do so, because the defense gave him a huge cushion. Yeah. I couldn't believe the cushion they were giving him on this play. And he just came back to the ball too much.
Yeah. They were playing like a little sticks there, and I was surprised. They were giving up, like you said, Mark. It just baffles your mind, especially a guy that he knows he can't break tackles. He specifically went to Deuce Staley this offseason and said, teach me how to break tackles after I catch the ball. And we still don't see it. His first move, every time he catches the ball, his knees bend. He starts going to the ground.
So in the NFL, by rule, is that giving yourself up? If you touch him, is that roughing the passer? I brought it up last week when it happened with the Saints. I got to bring it up now.
Good point.
And then finally, Nelson Aguilar's drop. Had a great catch a couple of plays later.
Holy
But
hell.
The drop, this would have put them at least up. This should have been the game-winning touchdown because the defense should have come on the field and shot him down after.
It's been on a loop in my head all day.
The Falcons did have, in full disclosure, three timeouts with about a minute 53 is the time of the drop. Say they would have gotten the ball back in, what, a minute 45, maybe, right? It's a play that the I know Nelson Aguilar wants to have back. But to his credit, he stayed in his locker and, like Zach Ertz, answered the questions. Nelson Aguilar postgame on what happened on that drop ball.
Yeah, but I still got to make that play. You know, it's something that, you know, we prepared for in pregame. We were trying to track it in the light, make sure we knew how to track it. And, you know, I got to find a way to catch it all. You know, remember where it's going to be and then just, you know, look it all the way in.
All right, we'll debate again why exactly he dropped that ball. They said it right there, lost it in the lights a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he heard that safety's footsteps.
Yeah, he definitely heard safety footsteps. Objects in the mirror may appear closer. It may be closer than they appear. And he saw it. He looked over there, and he was like, oh, Lord, there's a safety. Ugh. These right here, R, 2, 3, 4. Like, I don't know how they number the ribs. Like, you know, what that is.
They're intact.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Short arm. If you break a rib, is that one more rib? Is it now two ribs because you broke it?
I'm not sure.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. These are the medical questions I like to ask.
All right.
We'll examine that a little further. Rob in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Thoughts on a scheme issue. It seems like when I look back to 2017 when Wentz had his MVP, you know, caliber year, there were a lot of plays under center, a lot of play action from under center. And it just seems like we've totally gotten away from that. And to me, it seems like, and this started even last year when Wentz came back. And it just seems to me like that was a strength of Wentz, being under center, being there, changing the plays. I think the play action works a little different when it's under center. I'm just curious your thoughts on that, if it's something you noticed and if you think it has an impact.
I mean, I prefer stuff under center, and through the Chip Kelly era, I really missed having plays under center because the play action, I feel, works a lot better when your quarterback is under center. But when your quarterback is under duress the way Carson was in this game, getting hit 10 times, sacked 3, and constantly moving away from pressure, I want him as far away from that line of scrimmage as possible. I want him in that shotgun where he can survey the field and at least attempt to get rid of the ball a little faster.
No, and that's a fair point, and I agree maybe last night wasn't the best example, but I, you know, even week one and even going back to the beginning of last season, it just seems like they've kind of gotten away from that a little bit, and I'm not sure exactly.
Frank Reich!
Oh my God. He said Frank Reich.
I picked it up. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Rob. I appreciate it.
I scared Rob to death.
Sorry, Rob. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think you're wrong. I just... Like, last year was not the version of Carson Wentz that we were used to seeing. The numbers were great. We all know that. We've said it a million times over the last 6 months. The numbers were great, but just watching him play, he did not look like the same player. I think that's more to do with it than Frank Reich. I do think Frank Reich's a part of it, but I wouldn't be willing to say that he's any more than 30% of it.
I think he's a large part of it.
Yeah, okay. So you said, 75 earlier? I say he's a part of it.
Have you seen a first quarter game plan from the Eagles so far this year where you're like, that was money?
No, I have not.
In the last 2 years?
Or last year, yeah.
I mean, that's Frank Reich's, or previously Mike Rowe now, his biggest role is designing the game plan on how to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And for 2 years now, the first quarter has been ass.
All right, well, let's all keep this in mind as well. When the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they lost game two.
Yes, they did. 1-1.
Not everyone got hurt in that game.
In Kansas City. And they had a chance to win it, too, just like that one.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Real quick, was anybody else kind of curious as to why Darren Sproles, after week one, was used so little last night? So little.
I was, especially when you could have ran some screens to him. Just to get their defensive line off the ball a little bit.
We talked about the spark that McCown had for the team. Isn't that exactly what Darren Sproles is, a spark?
Yeah, that's what he's supposed to be.
You have no receivers, and he can catch a ball out of the backfield. Something?
I'm with you. As many times as you saw him in the early goings of last week.
It's just curious.
But I think everybody, you know, they hear what everybody's saying, too.
That's what bothers me.
Was complaining about Sproles from game one. And then he's like, all right, well, you know what? You want to complain about Sproles? All right, well, here's Sanders and Jordan. It didn't work out.
All right, we got Heather, Dre, Lenny, Chris. Stay right there. 610-632-0975. Coming up, 9:30, we'll talk to Donovan McNabb. And coming back, we'll talk about the most consistent problem and also revisit our Twitter poll coming up in a few here on 97. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Sam Wilson, before we go any further, please give us an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
This morning we asked, the Eagles lost because of poor play, poor coaching, or the injuries they endured. We have just under 1,600 votes. 53% say the injuries.
What?
Yes, and only 9% say poor coaching.
Wow, all right. I'm blown away a little bit here that people are looking at the injuries and going, number one reason they lost. Because normally, we're an excuse-free city. Normally, we just go, I can't blame injuries, got to play better than that. And that's where I got to go. I can't say the end. Because they had their opportunities, despite injuries, to win this game. They lost because they didn't play well. You can't have a quarterback with a rating of 6. Excuse me, let me give him his full credit. 6.2 in the first half and expect to win that game.
But he's throwing to Matt Collins. He's throwing to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Did Matt Collins look bad in this game?
Was he getting open in this game?
Well, he was catching the ball when he was open. And no, the first half, the first
I,
half,
look, I'm not. I didn't see the tape or anything like that. I think more than you. I'll just say that injuries did play a big role.
I'm not denying it. Right. I mean, we did go through the depth chart. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, receivers 1 and 2, not available.
Right.
Tight end number 2, not available. Tim Jernigan. Already your second best defensive tackle. He's out. He misses this game this game he was your second best available. He's your third on your depth chart because Malik Jackson's gone. So then you have Akeem Spence, who was just signed on Wednesday. He started filling in. I get that there was a lot of mixing and matching. But the fact that you had your opportunities in this game despite the roster makes me go, that was a game to be won. Nelson Aguilar catches that ball. You go up late in the game. Carson Wentz is able to extend past the goal line. That's 2 points.
Yeah.
You're in a much better position where a field goal doesn't win the game for the Falcons in the last drive. A field goal wouldn't even, field goal wouldn't tie the game. They would need a touchdown on that last drive. So, still to me, the opportunities were there and the mistakes were so glaring, I am willing to look past injuries and say, no, that game was there for the taking. Even with the injuries, even with poor play, you were there to win the game in the second half.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And maybe the first half, I think the injuries that I'm harping on so much is when they happen. Like I said before, it's you and out on the field and boom, 3 guys got taken away from you in your offense. So I just think that's why I think the injuries played a bigger part. It's the time of what happened. It was like, oh my God, you got knocked out. You know, 3 guys knocked out right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. I mean, you have a whole game plan in place. Trey, you know better than anybody. The book gets changed then, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if they were kind of confused that whole first half, what to do, how to do it. But I'm sure it related to Carson having the worst half of football he's ever had.
Now, I did say, and you're right, Bob, but the other part of it is that offensive line. And we talk about the glaring mistakes throughout the game. Ronald Darby consistently getting beat. Carson Wentz had a really bad first half. Everyone's acknowledging that. Nelson Aguilar's dropped. Zach Ertz not getting past the first down marker. But the biggest thing, and we talked about this a little earlier, the most consistent problem with this game was the offensive line play.
Mm-hmm. Awful.
And Trey, we broke it down throughout last week with Trench talking and all that stuff. We were expecting a little bit of an edge to the Eagles' favor.
Absolutely.
And it was not existent in this game.
No, you knew going into this game that this defensive front was going to be a challenge. You knew that that Garrett and what's my other man's name down there? The other big D tackle, big 96. Davidson, I think?
Allen? Oh.
Davidson. Tyler Davidson, whatever.
Yeah.
Big 96. You know, you knew that they were going to be a problem down there in the interior, Jarrett. So... You know,
he does spell Tyler weird.
Yeah, that is a little weird.
There's an extra E in there.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. So millennials, I don't know, man. So,
but anyway. Sure, technically he's not. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
So you know, you're looking at it, and you're looking at the game, and you're like, man, where's the push? Where's the same? I was expecting for this offensive line to pick up where they left off against Washington, being able to create movement, especially this being a defensive front that was just ran on last week against Minnesota, 172 yards. So I was expecting for our offensive line to pick up where they left off, create movement, let's get good push up off the field, change the line of scrimmage in our favor instead of it being the other way around. Instead, Isaac got pushed back a lot. They were always, their defensive line was changing the line of scrimmage in their favor, creating big push. It always made us just run. All of our runs were pretty much inside zone runs. Mm-hmm. Everything right in between the tackles, we're trying to push it right up the middle instead of being able to try to stretch some runs out there and then come back underneath or whatever. We just kind of tried to keep everything right there up the middle. And I don't know what the problem was with that. And maybe because when we ran a couple outside zones last week, you saw that Isaac and Kelsey was getting pushed back a couple times, which threw off the timing of the run. But now they're trying to just get pushed up the middle, and it just wasn't working. And then now you start with protection. Isaac again getting pushed back, a lot of good bull rushes. I don't know what they saw on film. Maybe it was just that Isaac gets a little high in protection or whatever. But I mean, when you're looking at Tyler Davidson, he was just getting big push up the middle. And then you saw JP trying to drag a little bit for the wide three technique just in case a game came, and it messed him up. It just was not good. You saw JP coming off late on the ends a couple times, come off balance a lot, falling on the ground because he's a little late getting to the end. Or you saw delayed TEs where the three technique was extremely upfield, and then the end comes looping around, JP can't switch it off, big hits on the quarterback again. So, you know, stuff like this has to correct it. You have to correct it. And if you keep getting beat by games left and right, then what are you doing in practice?
Right.
Some of this has to be corrected in practice. This isn't something that you correct on the sideline. This needs to be talked about before you even get to the game. Like, look, we need to fix this because it's a problem. Getting beat with games was a big problem last year, and it showed itself again this week.
And you had talked about that going into the season, that when you're looking at coaches that could be in a little hot water right here.
Coach Stoutland.
And this was not exactly a win for him. Chris in Allentown has a complaint about one of the guys in the offensive line, the guy that's had the most problems. Chris, what's on your mind today?
Guys, you guys just pretty much touched on that. Isaac, I wanted to talk to Trey about what's going on with this guy, man. Like, he was like the all-star. All I heard was Isaac, number 73, holding, getting pushed back. I mean, Carson Wentz, I mean, he was under duress that entire game, and I blame this loss on the coaches at the end of the game because, you know, I mean, Dallas Goedert getting hurt, what are you going to
do? 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.